Monday, March 18th, 2024, Board of Equalization starting at 1:45, Board of Commissioners meeting starting at 3.
Good to go. Okay, we're going to call the meeting of the Board of Equalization to order. If everybody would stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west lawn near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Sheree, will you call roll, please?
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Present.
Troy?
Here.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, I'll make a motion to excuse Bob today.
I'll second.
Call roll, please.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, we're going to go to number one, the consent agenda items. Is approval of the previous minutes from February 20th of 2024.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, we got, what's your name again?
Brian.
Brian. And second by Troy, will you call roll, please?
Shorty.
Shorty, I know.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Instead of the new business real quick here, I'm going to go to public comment, okay? And anybody wants to talk about anything? I know there's a lot of people here. I'm assuming it's from the approval or disapproval or the percentage or whatever. But anyways, I'd like to go to public comment first. If there's anybody that wants to talk about anything that's not on the agenda, okay, you can come up now if you wish. Okay, if that's not the case, we will go on to new business. Open up a public hearing here for the applicants requesting tax exemption on the real and personal property and the qualifying organizations. For the purpose of the hearing, of oral or written testimony from the qualifying organizations. So here we are, Form 451. Christy, yep. Where are you at? Okay, so the hearing is open. Okay, I'm assuming that are you people here for something to do with anything, talking about anything in that
one nature? Of the churches or nonprofits or
yeah,
something. Christy, how do you think it would be best to proceed with this?
It's up to you guys how you want to do it. I mean, if you want to go through one at a time, that's up to you. I don't have any objections.
Okay. Well, we can. I guess we can go about it a couple different ways. The list that we have here, okay, they've all been approved, okay, except the, is that okay if I just go accept and the percentages?
I would
okay.
say.
Okay, the 10% is taxable of the, is it the Crony Church, post 307? Okay, Bill?
County Church, yeah.
Yep, okay, and then we got 30% taxable of the Order of the Eagles. The Fraternal Order of the Eagles is 30% taxable. And then what's the lodge of the number 5, A and F and M? AM, that's 53% taxable.
Omidai I Lodge.
Okay. And then we have the Northwest or Northeast Nebraska Community Action Partnership is 10% taxable. Okay, and then of course we have a conversation on the next one, which is the tennis, Siouxland Tennis Association. So other than that, they've all been approved. So anyone, go ahead. If you don't mind coming up to the podium and stating your name and your address for the record, please.
Sure. Reverend Julie Raridan, representing Homer UMC, Dakota City UMC, and St. Paul UMC. I don't know if Homer is on there, but they probably should be.
They didn't file.
Good to know. Thank you. So for Dakota City and for St. Paul, if you did not mention them just now, we can go ahead and leave. Those will be accepted, and we just say thank you very much. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yep, no problem. Thanks for coming. Okay. Anyone else that heard what they wanted to hear or didn't want to hear or I want to talk about what I spoke upon. Bill, you want to come up?
probably going to be a question for Christy.
Okay.
Yes.
Christy, I'm representing the South Sioux City Community Center, also known as the Northeast Nebraska Senior Center.
Okay.
By the time it got to me, we had the letter.
Okay.
But the forms behind it, but since he said they're approved, they sell whatever was done in the past is...
Okay. Somebody
filed
it on your behalf.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to speak right now? Anyone? No?
I figured I'd just jump in on the second agenda item.
Okay, but let me... I'm just going to get to it. Yep. You're next up on the list, right?
Yep.
Okay. So then I'll do is the public hearing. I guess I'll close that. And then we're going to go to B. The board to review and make a decision on the protest submitted by Andrew Spader with the, is it Mattson Ricketts Law Firm?
Correct.
On behalf of Siouxland Tennis Association. It's regarding the notice of the intent for the tax for parcel 22005-6692.
If I may, I do have some binders with some documents for the board of equalization. There should be six copies.
Okay.
Here. Thank you.
What's that?
That's yours.
Okay. First off, just to announce myself, I'm Andrew Spader. I'm an attorney with Mattson Ricketts Law Firm, address 134 South 13th Street in Lincoln, Nebraska. And, you know, we're kind of here sort of under agenda item A and B. The city filed a form 451. We filed a protest of a notice of an intent to tax. And really, we're kind of in a procedural unique situation in that the Siouxland Tennis Association is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It leases the tennis facility located on Riverview Drive that's the subject of this protest. But the facility itself is actually owned by the city.
And they lease it for a dollar a year, correct?
And ongoing maintenance and the tennis, Siouxland Tennis Association constructed and paid for all the construction costs of that building, including the recent addition thereto. And so the statutory language for the board, and I know on the form 451, the basis for the denial was, I think, listed as due to ownership and the fact that there's an ongoing appeal before the TURF has not been ruled on. That is all true, but that's not a basis under which this board can deny the protest, because you have to make your decision based on the property tax statutes and the regulations they're under. And if you look at those statutes, it's specifically 77-202-1A, property owned by a governmental subdivision and used for a public purpose is exempt for taxation. Public purpose is specifically designed in that statute. It includes a great many things, but among them are parks, culture, and recreation, which the tennis facility fulfills those requirements under state law. Furthermore, under that statute, public purpose includes leasing property to a private party if the lease is at fair market value and for a public purpose. And so, you know, I hear your comment about, well, the lease is for a dollar a year. That is true, but if you look at the regulations that the Department of Revenue has promulgated, 350 Nebraska Administrative Code, Chapter 13, Section 3.1, and I'm just going to quote this because I think it speaks directly to the question that you need to decide as a board is. When the county assessor or county board of equalization determines whether a lease to a private party for a public purpose is at fair market value, factors other than the dollar amount of the lease payments must be taken into consideration. As long as the value of all benefits received by the state or governmental subdivision from the lessee is reasonable compensation for allowing the lessee use of the property, the lease shall be considered to be at fair market value. Such benefits may include services provided by the lessee in connection with the lessee's use of the property. And so in this situation, it's a facility, it's open to the public. It is built by the Siouxland Tennis Association at no cost to the city, but it is owned by the city. And the construction costs were significant, well over $1 million for the first initial construction, and then got how much for
a
similar amount for the most recent addition, which opened this January. So there's been a substantial outlay of private funds ultimately for the city benefit, you know, which is the consideration for this lease. The Tennis Association also carries the ongoing costs of, you know, maintenance, utilities, basically keeping the facility open and operating, open to the public. And so the other thing that's unique about the Siouxland Tennis Association is actually that it's not unique in that there's two other facilities in Nebraska which operate basically under the same model. There's the Woods Tennis Center in Lincoln, Nebraska, and then there's the relatively newer Ernst Grundy Tennis Center in Kearney, Nebraska. And if you look in the packet, I've got, you know, in tabs, basically 16 through 20, all the information on those similarly situated facilities. And if you look at those facilities and if you look how they're treated in those counties under the tax rolls, they are exempt from taxation.
What's the benefit of doing it the way that you've done it? Why build a building on a piece of property that doesn't belong to you, just out of curiosity?
Frankly, it's essentially, you know, the city could have done this on their own. They could have raised tax revenue and built this facility. Instead, with this model, they can provide the same benefit to the public without having to raise that money.
No, I understand from the city's perspective, but I mean from the perspective of your guys' perspective, the people you're representing. Why?
Yeah, you know, the second $1 million of putting the building together, that was your expense, right?
Right.
Right.
Frankly, it's because it's open. And this sort of kind of goes into, okay, if it's not, if you don't think it's a public use, then the statutes then direct you to look at, okay, would this be exempt under a charitable exemption, 77-202-1D. And then if you walk through those factors, you know, the Siouxland Tennis Association is a 501c charitable organization, not run for profit, not, you know, they don't have a liquor license, they don't serve alcohol, they don't discriminate. They fit all those requirements for an exemption under 202-1D. And so I think to your question of what's in it for the Siouxland Tennis Association, that will be the same question of what's in it for any charitable organization. It's a group of people who see a community need who want to provide that in the best way possible. And this was, you know, effectively a way to provide that benefit without raising taxes.
Okay, so the other, if
I could,
go ahead.
Just to further that discussion a bit, the reason we didn't buy real estate to construct on was that the city came to us and offered us, in essence, land without having to pay for it, plus a parking lot that we didn't have to construct.
You know, to the extent that the board wants to review it, tabs 3 and 4, you know, that's the lease at issue, and then the memorandum of understanding, I think Scott was referencing just there. In our view, specifically to the notice of intent to tax, you know, this is a public purpose. It's the Siouxland Tennis Association took on a relatively substantial amount of, you know, expense to provide a benefit to the city and to the public as a whole. And to the extent that you're looking for comparables, the Siouxland YMCA has, for all practical purposes, the same arrangement. And the Siouxland YMCA lease and the Aquaplex lease is also in that binder for your review as well. But essentially, they pay either $0 or $1 of your base rent, but they constructed that YMCA facility. The key differentiation, as I understand it, between the YMCA and the Siouxland Tennis Association is, you know, who owns the actual building structure during the term of the lease. The YMCA, right now, under the term of their lease, they own that building. And I believe that was because for financing requirements to get the loans and what so forth to be able to construct that. The Siouxland Tennis Association, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were able to raise all the funds without needing outside financing. And so the Siouxland Tennis Association never actually had ownership of that building. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. I know I gave you a ton of documents. It's belt and suspenders. You know, I'm happy to reference any questions you may have in those, but I really think if you compare this facility both to what's already existing in South Sioux City and what's existing across the state, this is a public property leased for a public purpose and leased at a fair market value.
So the other facilities, like in Lincoln Woods and et cetera, is that set up the same? The city purchased it, and then I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. Is if I'm not doubting you, but if what you say here is true, if there's other tennis facilities in the state of Nebraska, why are we at where we're at? As if it's in Turk right now, correct?
2021 and 2022 had a trial, and that's pending decision before Turk.
Okay.
2023 has been appealed. We have not had a hearing on that yet.
Okay.
The Turk is very down. As for the specifics of Woods, so Woods Tennis, I couldn't tell you the exact year it's been around, but it's been around a long time.
Long time.
That's a city park. But the building and the facility is run by, I'll get the name of this wrong if I don't look it up. It's tab 17, Friends of Woods Tennis. And they own and operate the Woods Tennis Center. And they are also, incidentally, looking at an expansion. So that's a private-owned, non-profit-owned facility on city ground. The Ernst Grundy Tennis Center is actually located, I believe, on land owned by the University of Kearney. It's operated by the city of Kearney, and I could not tell you who owns the building itself, but it's either UNK or it's the city. And I think the importance here is, under that structure, that's actually owned by the city and operated by the city or a political subdivision. Whereas the Siouxland Tennis Association is pretty much the same situation as Woods Tennis in that private-run facility, nonprofit-run facility located on government subdivision property.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of information. Obviously, you've done your homework, I guess. And I don't know. Anybody have any questions? For Andrew at all? Scott? Anybody?
Yeah, not right now. Not without having a chance to kind of go through.
Yeah. Okay, well, anything else for us?
No, that was what I had. And
okay.
I really thank you for your time, and thank you for taking this in.
No, we appreciate it, too. It's just, it's time to do some homework and some research, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Christy?
Yep, we're good.
Christy and Sam, welcome. Good job, Sam.
So we actually have two things. The permissive exemption application needs to be denied because the city cannot file for permissive exempt. at all. They don't pass the five ownership test. So the city cannot do this form. And I've already been talked to the state. They said no. They cannot file this form. So they don't meet the five-part ownership test. They can protest the intent to tax. So that might be what he's talking about. That's the only thing they can protest right now. The city's governmental. They can't file that form at all. And they're saying the lease is for a dollar. That's not fair market. So I don't quite understand that.
I'm Sam Ferraro, real estate appraiser, a Board of Equalization referee for the record. I'll just kind of just give you the rundown on the property just so everybody knows. 2019, the building permit was $1.4 million. It constructed a 23,100 square foot structure. In 2023, there was a second building permit for $1.45 million. That constructed a 26,000 square foot structure. And then there's a 3,200 square foot office area. So it's a 51,964 square foot structure we're talking about. And it's also on 7 acres of roughly, the parcel's a lot bigger than that it sits on, but the structure and the parking lot and the surrounding grounds are about 7 acres of riverfront real estate. In the lease, it speaks about the $1 and the maintenance that the tennis facility has to maintain as far as the lease goes. So, in effect, there's nothing in the lease that says they had to construct it with their money, but the lease only states that it's $1 and the maintenance. They have to keep the maintained facility. They have to remove the snow. They have to care for the lawn and such. A lease on that building, to give the board some numbers to work with, I mean, even at the ridiculously low $3 a square foot number, you're talking about, you know, $156,000 a year lease we're talking about. That's just the structure. We're not even talking about 7 acres of riverfront land. So, you know, by statute, I mean, even if you count some of the construction costs, which, again, the board has opposed in the past, been denied in the past, that 7 acres of riverfront is unaccounted for. From a real estate perspective, I mean, all I can tell you is I sit in this room, you know, every summer, and I hear taxpayers talk about, you know, values of certain properties, and I can tell you almost every single year the people on the river come in because that land is so tremendously valuable. We have two houses right now, and I'm talking houses, so residential is, you know, on a lower plane than any commercial property, but they are $800,000 or more in South Sioux City, Nebraska. You know, our most expensive houses that we have are on the river. So just to, I guess, reiterate the point of that, even if the board agrees that the lease is paid by the construction, what accounts for that 7 acres of the riverfront land? Also, if the board exempts this property, it does place the burden on the rest of the taxpayers. Again, as we all know, if more people are paying, we all pay less. If we exempt a $4 to $5 million property, again, that burden goes directly to the rest of the people in this room and the rest of the people that live here. So that's kind of a secondary issue. I mean, to me, the issue really is that the base rent of $1 and the construction costs is not market value. It's just not a market value lease. Any business owner would love to have that lease, even if they had to build the building. Secondly, in the lease, the tenant takes the property after 10 years. You have the lease, it's on the first page. So, again, if it's exempt now, then when it becomes owned by the tenant, it would be taxable anyway. Again, now it would be a business that is operating like a gym or indoor soccer, what have you.
Earlier, someone had mentioned a dollar for 99 years. That's not the case.
No.
No, it's a 10-year renewable lease. It's I think it's first page. Second.
Yeah.
Part two, second page. Base rent. In addition to the base rent, tenants shall also pay all real estate taxes. I'm sorry. 1A.
Section 1A?
Yeah, under premise and terms, under 1A.
Up to 2 10-year
renewal options.
Have you found it, Troy? Have you found it in your book? Well, we're trying to find it in our book, our binder.
Okay.
Oh, it's under 3.
What's that?
Tab 3.
Okay. Yeah, indoor tennis facility lease.
One A is the 10-year.
Yeah, so A, the renewal terms, okay.
Mm-hmm. Tenant shall have the right to extend the agreement.
2 10-year renewal options.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it's, and then above that in section one there, the tenant will take possession.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just that for your consideration. But then also the lease goes on to say that the tenant is responsible for the real estate taxes. So, I mean, you had all the corporate lawyers from South Sioux, all the city lawyers from South Sioux write this lease up. They put in the real estate taxes. Why would they, why would they say it's, you have to pay the taxes if it's not taxable? But that is, after going through this for the last, 3 years, I guess that's what...
It tells me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it tells me that the lease shows that he's responsible for real estate taxes, but then all of a sudden it becomes, well, it's a dollar lease for 10 years and up to renewal, and then all of a sudden I think to get the... And I might be speaking out of character here, but then all of a sudden they're just like, well... let's write you a letter, okay, that considers authorization of the City of South Sioux City to file the necessary appeals regarding the property. So basically it gets him on to here and then gets him on to a Turk situation. So to me it just seems like the city is, and no offense Scott, in any form or shape or way, but it just seems like to me that they're kind of saying, maybe at one point in time somewhere along the line, but in the lease it states that real estate taxes are real estate taxes. You got to pay them. I mean, it's the way it is.
Yeah. They don't want to be responsible.
Maybe they don't want to be responsible. Maybe that's just a way for them to say,
here's an out
if you can make it happen.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, that most of the taxes that are going to be paid by everyone in this district are going to be... to the Sioux City or to South Sioux schools, and then to the city of South Sioux, which are the highest two levies that are levied in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But and again, the county has spent a lot of time and a lot of money on this. We've gone to Turk at least once. It looks like we'll go again. But it appears clear to me that from the real estate side, from the appraisal side, legally, it should be taxable, and the reasons are the lease, the land, the pro shop has items for sale. Again, they can sell stuff, but at what point are you a business, and what point are you a recreational or charitable facility?
Okay, so after 10 years, let's say, for instance, the tennis organization does not want to release it. Okay, what happens then?
They would have to file this permissive, I would assume so. And we'd have to do this. But they'd have to qualify,
Do you recognize it as an Iowa nonprofit, or are you also recognized as a Nebraska nonprofit?
Just because it's a 501c, it doesn't mean it's exempt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And charitable, they're claiming charitable, but the state defines charitable as focus on providing a necessity, food, shelter, or clothing. That's not charitable on anything they do. They don't provide any of that stuff. And that's the state's definition of charitable.
And I'll leave under the regulation 350, I'll leave it with you, but it says straight out, if an organization is organized under a 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code on the federal side, it does not necessarily become exempt from Nebraska property taxes. And that's from the Department of Revenue right there. And we fight this with, you know, every single person or entity that claims to be, you know, if they're exempt on the Fed side, that does not mean they're exempt on the Nebraska side for property taxes. It's two different scales, two different medians,
two different entities.
They're completely different, yeah.
I get it. Okay, well, thanks for your information.
Thanks. If I may just add
feel free.
Comments. Okay, so the first thing I just want to address is I'm not sure where Ms. App got her definition of charitable from, but the definition of charitable under the Nebraska Administrative Code, the Department of Revenue Regulations, Title 350, Chapter 40, Section 5.01c defines charitable organization as an organization operated exclusively for the purpose of mental, social, or physical benefit of the public or an indefinite number of persons. And so, you know, under that definition of charitable, a tennis facility, physical activity, open to the public, that meets the definition of charitable. The other, I think, maybe some confusion I heard with respect to the ownership of the facility that I just want to clear up. If you turn to the Memorandum of Understanding, this is the clearest statement of it. It's reflected in the lease, but the Memorandum of Understanding states this the clearest.
What tab?
Tab 4. Page, you know, 1B, or page 1, item 1B, okay, there was a question about, okay, you know, who actually paid this cost. It is spelled forth in the MOU that it will raise the funds, it being the Sioux Lane Tennis Association, and pay all expenses connected with the construction of the indoor tennis facility. Okay, Sioux Lane Tennis Association paid those bills. That's clear. And then 1C, that the indoor tennis facility will become part of the real estate owned by the city, and the building will be owned by the city when complete. There is no reversion of ownership from the city to the Sioux Lane Tennis Association. All the Sioux Lane Tennis Association has is a lease to this property. It is owned by the city. It has always been owned by the city. It will always be owned by the city. And then with your, there was some questioning, Commissioner Love, about, you know, why would you include the language about, you know, if there's any property taxes assessed against this property, it gets paid by the Sioux Lane Tennis Association. The answer to that is, if the Sioux Lane Tennis Association engaged in non-exempt use, then it would be responsible for the taxes. And that is just, it's a belt and suspenders. It's spelled out in every lease. Frankly, it's spelled out in the Sioux Lane YMCA lease as well. It's that same provision. And, you know, to the extent the related to the use of the facility, you know, page 2 of the lease, so tab 3, page 2, paragraph 5, it's a long paragraph, but the key language here is tenant covenants and agrees that during the term of this lease to use and occupy the premise only for operation of an indoor tennis facility and uses related thereto. Okay, so this, it's only being used for a tennis facility open to the public. That's an exempt use. And so the language regarding the property taxes, it's belt and suspenders, but as a practical effect, it's a nullity. And then, you know, there was some questioning, you know, about, okay, well, what would the lease be, what would fair market value be under, you know, certain dollar figures per square foot of a lease. Again, I think that's the wrong analysis, because I think you have to look at, you know, if you delve into the regulations, it says, okay, look at comparable properties. Well, the comparable property here is Massillon YMCA, and the lease terms are functionally identical. You know, nominal rent, pay the expenses, pay for the cost of the building. That's the same term. If the Siouxland YMCA is exempt, why isn't the Siouxland Tenants Association? But then also, you know, if you just look at the ongoing expenses of the facility, so tab 6 has the year-end financials, you know, there was, you know, over $280,000 of expenses incurred by the Siouxland Tenants Association to operate this public facility. So, you know, if you're looking at, okay, what would it have been if they had actually cut a check to the city, I think you need to compare this number to, you know, what that figure would have been, and to come up with that analysis. So with that, that's all I had in the rebuttal. I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Yeah, a lot of information there. Yeah. Thank you. I don't personally have any questions. I know that, how long is this next term? How long does it take up to? We don't know. Could be a year, could be 2 years. Okay. Okay. Well, anybody else have anything? Any questions, concerns, comments? I totally see points from both sides here. I mean, I do, without a doubt. But I guess at the end of the day, you know, we as the Board of Equalization, yeah, we have our own minds and our own thoughts, that we take a lot of the assessor and, of course, you know, our professional resources that deal with this on a daily. And I think you know that where it's going, obviously, it's gonna go to a state level like it has. And I guess, when will that end? I don't know. Chris, do you have an answer to that?
No.
You know, it'd be nice to know where you stand when it's got. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't have anything else, but I do appreciate the information. It's going to be a lot of stuff to look at. Anything?
No.
Christy, anything else? Sam? Okay, well, it basically states the board needs to review and make a decision on the approach as submitted. So that means there is action that needs to take.
So do you need a motion to keep it the way it has been, or?
Yeah, just, I mean, if we want to make a motion to whatever our decision is, I mean, I personally think that, you know, it's on a state level right now.
Yeah.
Let Turk decide.
I mean,
Turk's going to decide ultimately.
Right. I mean, there's no way around that, is there, Kim? I mean, Turk, they're going to make a decision.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we have any other choice, unfortunately, besides to let, you know, go to the Turk standpoint like it is right now. I mean, like I said, I see a lot of, and I'm sure there's a lot of information with your exhibits, without a doubt. But at the end of the day,
make a motion on these. I don't know what that is. To approve it, that this was.
Does it on the form?
We started with the public hearing.
Thank you. Somebody talk to me of your thoughts here. What do you got cooking? I'm hearing a little bit, but I can't hear very good on my right side.
I'm just questioning whether so these 451 forms that Christy brought during this public hearing comment section here, this is, you know, Christy's recommendation was for approval, and you guys have the list. I just put it in a list so you didn't have to look through each one of these. Some were approved, some were 10%.
Yep.
Does the board approve Christie's recommendations then, or do you guys have any other discussion or objections on them?
Don't think so.
Yeah, I'd say that. Because the people that are at a percentage, if they want to discuss their situation, right, they'll have a right to discuss that. But I would say for the one that we've just discussed and all of them that were approved, you know, we could make that motion to approve all of those.
At one time?
Yeah, yeah, the 451, Form 451, I guess is what it's called.
451s, yeah. Okay.
And then we'll hit the other ones that are the percentages one at a time, see if anybody wants to talk on them. So okay. I'd make a motion to approve the 451 forms that were forwarded to us from the assessor's office, including the Siouxland Tennis Association, Inc., and all of them that had their approvals at this time.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, call roll on the 451s on the, with Marty and Brian, please.
All right, Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay.
So then I would say just pull the, if we go through and pull the ones, the other three or four.
Then you got one, two, three, four. The four with the percentages. Correct?
Yep.
Christy can probably tell you why there are percentages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to?
You can read off to me what they are.
Cowie Church.
Alcohol sales.
So they're at 10%. That's what they were.
10% tax.
Yeah, nothing has changed.
Nothing's changed.
Okay. They have an alcohol sale of so many hours a week, they have to be, yeah.
And then
the Fraternal Order of the Eagles.
Yeah, and they lease part of their building out.
Okay, and then we have the 53% of the Omidai Lodge number.
It's Legion, so it must be alcohol sales on that one. That one's in South Sioux, right? Right off the avenue.
Yes.
Yeah, and they lease part of their building out also. And there's this alcohol sale. They have a bar.
And then 10% taxable to Northeast Nebraska.
They rent part of their building out also.
Okay.
A good majority of it.
So then
we need action on those four.
Four, yeah.
And percent. I haven't changed the percents. They are, they've always been that way.
Okay, so the four that we just discussed with the taxable percentages, I'll make a motion to approve the taxable dollar amounts.
And I second that.
Okay, myself and Troy, will you call roll, please?
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, and then lastly, the Siouxland Tennis Association.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say let's go ahead. My opinion is, until it gets through Turk, that we would, I would make a motion to deny that at this time.
Okay. And I think, you know, unfortunately, I think it's the right thing for us to do. I mean, I don't think we have any other choice. You know, let the state
decide it.
Yep.
I second that.
Okay. On the Siouxland Tennis Association, we got a motion by Marty and a second by Troy. Will you call roll, please?
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. C, Christy 8. Requesting the acknowledgement and approval of the homestead tax roll corrections issued by the Department of Revenue. Thanks for the information, gentlemen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
Appreciate it.
Okay, I have one, two, three, six homestead corrections that the state sent me. They did an audit for 2021 taxes, and they have changed these people's percents. So I don't know if you want to go through them one at a time.
Let's shed a little light on it if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, we got 10034.
That one is Roger and Susan Monk. They were at 70%. They went down to 50%.
Okay. And then we got 35.
Andrew Olson. He was 100%, went down to 80.
Okay.
Laverta Eichhoff went from 100% down to 70%. Janice Herkert went from 20% to nothing. Elias Lizarraga went from 100% down to 80.
Okay.
And Paul Wigg went from 100% down to 70. And these are all based off income. It has nothing to do with us.
Right.
They got audited at the state level.
It's simple. It's dollar amount.
Yep. They must not have reported some income is all it is.
So we got 10034 through 10039.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything, any questions for Christy on those, Homestead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve them.
Second.
Second by Brian, myself, and Brian. Call roll, please.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, D, we got the approval and appoint the compensation for the use of the certified appraisers, referee property valuation protest for 2024. It looks like we got number one. Do we got to approve these individually? One, two, and three, or can we do them all at one time?
I'd do them individually.
Individually, okay. So number one, we have the approved referee agreement with Innovation Appraisal Services. That is for residential and commercial, and we all have it in our packet.
It's the same one as last year.
Is it the same dollar amounts?
Well, I don't know what dollar amount, but...
Same.
This is all the same people?
Same contract, yeah.
As you, I've looked at all of them. I don't know if I'm sure everybody has. Same people, different year, same shit. Sorry. It is what it is. So anyways, the approval for the innovation people.
So I'll make a motion.
You make a motion, I'll second it. So we got Marty and a second by myself to approve the innovations.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay, approval of referee agreement with Standard Appraisals for commercial and ag and residential parcels.
Make a motion approve.
Okay, we got a motion by Brian, a second by Troy. Will you call roll, please?
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Yes. And lastly, we have approval referee agreement. Is that Helbig?
Yes.
Yeah.
Agricultural services for ag parcels only.
I make a motion to approve that as well.
Okay. We got Brian.
Second.
And we got a second by Troy.
Good job seconding.
All right. Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep.
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Okay. So then we have on E... We have the approval or denial of the engagement with the Cardinal Assessment Group to contract for conducting and review and or inspection of the designated residential properties in the town of Dakota City. Compensation to be paid from the General Assessor Fund.
Yeah, it's just a big contract to have. He used to work with Daryl, Big Tall Josh.
I probably know the same.
Yep. He used to work with Josh. He's on his own now.
Okay.
And we asked him if he'd be willing to contract out some of our reappraisal work, like in Dakota City, where we have to go out and review the town.
Okay.
So Sam, I can free Sam up.
Okay.
And he was cheaper.
Make a motion for
him. Okay. He's just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all right.
Is there anything else we can give him?
He's hungry.
He said he would help with... protest if we needed to. He said just let him know.
Nice. Okay. We got approval by Brian.
A second.
And a second by Troy to approve the engagement with the Cardinal Assessment Group. Call roll, please.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay. F, anything?
Yep.
Okay.
LB 1183.
Which one's that?
That's one. The one where Nebraska's going to buy back your property. If you think.
Come on. We got mail emergency business, Sheree, any?
No.
Okay, we've already done.
Actually, let me think.
Hold on.
I put in your guys' packets a copy of the TIF.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not surprised. I looked at it, the ground. Looks like they just want to keep tipping old Kirk and Window, don't they?
Yeah, and, you know, Hippie's going to put his addition in just west there, and now back on the piece of property to the north of that.
Yep.
There was an outfit that was coming in to put in 300 apartments and 75 homes. They were going to do it on the east side. They're now hoping to move out on that piece of property on the other side of the county road there.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So by Hamas?
Yeah.
Where the big hole is?
Yeah, west of Hamas. Yep. Hamas is there.
Yep.
Or east, sorry, east of Hamas. Yep.
Yep.
So
that's the big hole. That's where all the dirt came from to go across.
To lift all those others up. Yeah.
So is this all by keying out of that field?
Yeah. The first field would be the Dale Hands addition.
Okay.
The second one would be, their name escapes me right now, but the city changed to where you have to build, for every four apartments, you have to build a residential home. So in this building, they're looking at 300 apartments and 75 homes.
I hope they're not doing any more Section 42.
You mean the low
income?
I'm done with Section 42.
Aren't we all? Okay, well, okay. I guess if
at least we know where you stand.
Yeah. Obviously, it's March 25th is the hearing for it at City Hall. So
I just don't understand how they can blight every single area. There is nothing wrong.
You can blight 35% of your area, and they're at 34.999 something.
And they only have 2 years left on the one Liberty Place.
Tip. I know. Yeah, they're going to take. Yeah, they're going to pull that back off. No, I know.
I got a question. Do all the other cities have the same, or counties, I should say, have the same issues?
I don't know any of them that are our size that have this many tips.
Crazy. That'll keep us broke, won't they?
Or a jail of size.
Keep us
broke.
You
know, nobody is. Okay, anything else before we adjourn?
Public comment I already did. So I would be honored to have Brian Van Berkum.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. We are adjourned.
You gentlemen, what can we help you with? Okay. Yeah. Can you look at the name on there, Christy, to see which one, just to make... I'm sure you're okay, but let's make sure.
It's probably something to do.
Guys, we went ahead and we'll go ahead and start our commissioner meeting. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted in the wall near the west entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens.
Try to sign all this.
Take it.
Okay. Right, Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Present.
Troy?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to excuse Bob from today's meeting.
Second.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. We'll start with consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from March 4th. Oh, that's a good idea. No, you're right. Does anybody have any public comment? It'll be commented on anything that's not on our agenda today. So if anybody wants to talk about it, all right, well, what do you got to say today?
A couple things. Did everybody get a copy of the DGR engineering feasibility study?
Yeah. The old one that you had?
Is that what's that?
The old one that they had?
Yeah.
That they did years ago?
This is the one that taxed everybody, DGR, the feasibility, for $112,000.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to pass this around. This came from the study that was done. This is a draft from the Army Corps Engineers. I want you to look at item 11. No, in the front or bottom, it's in yellow. And look clear to the right, and then look at the bottom and see your ticket.
Hey, well, while you're here, real quick, I know I left you a message that we were going to, but then Bob emailed or talked to you as well.
Yes, I did
talk
to you.
So when Bob gets back next meeting, we'll all sit down if that's okay. After the meeting in 2 weeks, okay?
Awesome, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
I just wanted to have this stuff on. Basically, that number is phenomenal, $650,000. I don't know who that come up with it. I think they're out to lunch.
Yeah.
But what I also have is I have a copy of that study that was done by our current years, of that feasibility study, I've got a ton of information on there that has a lot to do with you got what I call all the good things and the bad things that would happen on the lake bed on the feasibility study. I got all that information, which I'm going to give to the engineers, that I think we can knock half of that price, or not maybe half it down on it. And the last thing I want to do is, I only got one copy, but I'm going to let you guys make a copy of it. This particular item is all the laws and who enforces public trust. Public trust.
Is it federally or state?
State of Nebraska. Okay, it's an eye-opener, and I just have relish in what I've been doing here for the last year and a half. It lays it all out, and there's several pages. Just if you want, you can read the whole thing, but I've got an outline with what I'm going to just pass this up. And
okay, and that's ours to keep?
Yes.
You can make a copy?
Yeah, you can make some copies of it. I ran out of paper.
I
went through about 2,000 sheets of paper since I started.
Oh, I would bet. That does not surprise
me. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
All right,
I'm
thanks,
looking forward to working with you guys.
Yep, in 2 weeks, and we'll make sure that we meet up then. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. We're going to go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from March 4th, 2024. Approval of payroll claims from March 3rd, 2024 through March 16th, 2024. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of monthly account payable claims. Approval of official reports from the county clerk, the register of deeds, and the clerk of district court. I came in this morning and went through everything. It appeared that everything was in line. So
I'll make a motion on the consent agenda items A through E.
Second.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. In new business, board to approve or not approve Resolution 24C. -008 grievance board and a list of members is set forth in the employee handbook January 22nd of 2024.
I should probably let the three people that I put down, let's should let them know. Huh?
You probably should let them know they're on.
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
I'll second it. I told them, I think. I can't remember.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, board to approve settlement agreement between the county and Brent Byroad. Our last meeting, we met in closed session and discussed the situation around Brent's resignation. The NRMA had questions about the procedure, some procedure that was done during that time. And in conversations with them, we have... We came to a resolution with everybody involved, and at this time we're just looking to approve the settlement.
So moved.
Second.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Board to approve or not approve audit proposal from Carr Monroe LLP CPAs out of Wichita, Kansas for the county audit services for a three-year contract. As you know, we've advertised it twice in the newspaper. For several weeks, we've got no response. We've actually contacted a number of CPA firms in the tri-state area, got no response. One of the things when the state of Nebraska let us know that they were no longer going to be doing those, they gave us a list of names. This is a firm
out of Kansas, but it appears from reading the information in our packet that there's a gal that worked here in Nebraska as a CPA, and it says that she would be in charge of our audit if we decide to go with them.
Okay. Well, like I said, there's not a lot of options, obviously. Got to go to Wichita, Kansas. But anyways, I'll make a motion to approve the audit proposal.
It's I believe it's a three-year...
Three-year proposal.
Yeah.
From 6/30/24 to 6/30/2026. So I'll second that.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
D, Brian Pearson, SIMCO Facility Director, Transit Director, requests board to approve funding for Siouxland Regional Transit System busing in the amount of $15,000 per year to assist with the expenses of 1,500 rides per year for rural Dakota County residents effective July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025. Renewed in writing annually. So, is there somebody here to speak on that?
Sure.
You bet. Come on down. You bet. Just state your name there and kind of let us know what's going on and how we've been utilizing the service here in Dakota County.
So, my name is Brian Pearson, and I'm with Siouxland Regional Transit System, and I request $15,000, which will cover 1,500 trips per year. This is our third year doing this, so we've seen a great level of improvement increase, mainly with a lot of school kids currently right now. So we want to continue to expand in Dakota County. We've hired some more drivers that live in this county, such as Homer. A lady just started this morning. So one of our goals is to hire drivers that are in the counties, and so are in the county, Dakota County, so we can further expand more ridership in Nebraska. So we've seen, again, just great level of improvement. The first year it was very low ridership, close to 100 rides or trips, and now we're close to 1,200 trips. So that average is roughly about 12. The average is roughly about 120 trips per month.
Is a trip a one way or is that a round
trip? A trip is one way. And so our cost per trip is $28 per trip, just our cost, the service cost. So this helps support free general public rides, and we cover the rest. So when you think about 1,500 trips, that's basically $10 per trip when our cost is $18 per trip.
I've definitely seen your vehicles out in the county a lot more in the last 6 months,
that's
I would say. Especially I see out on 35 past Hubbard, I've seen them, and then Homer, Nebraska. So.
Yes. Yes, we are even parking bus. You may have seen our buses parked on Dakota Avenue. So
okay.
Over by the... Where the old home bakery.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's a church over there.
First Lutheran Church.
Okay, yeah.
So
very good.
We got like four buses there.
And I think as people become more aware of it, I'm sure you'll even be expanding more.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, sounds good. You had 1,200 last year. Who knows what this year will be, right? Well, probably 2,000.
Well, the year before, so requested for $12,000,
yep.
Okay. So I didn't request any money last year. I wanted to make sure we would exhaust the rides, as I mentioned to Bob and also this commission here. So now we're exceeding. We're going to exceed 1,200. We're going to hit 1,200 by the end of this month to early next month. So that means that 1,200 exhausted. So the rest of the cost would be covered by CERS through our support that we get.
Okay, so if we go 1,500 this time and say we wind up with 1,700 rides, is it something that we make up the next year or something? So you're asking, okay.
No, so just like this year, I wouldn't, I'm not going to ask for, to cover the additional cost. We eat that cost, basically.
Okay.
So just based on the trend of consistency, that's why I asked for $1,500 you know, $15,000, because that's about what the ridership would be, and it may even be more than that as we continue to look to expand and put up hiring banners and hiring drivers that are in this county. And we have roughly, we've hired, well, one is not in this county, but she's in Emerson,
mm-hmm.
but will serve this county.
Yeah.
So that's the whole purpose, is to hire drivers that live in the area and then serve, you know, mm-hmm. serve their communities. So it's a win-win for everyone. They don't have to come into town and
mm-hmm.
or, you know, to get a
yeah.
bus or anything. Their bus would be with them at home, or their bus would be with them parked here in South Sioux.
Very good.
Yeah.
And who's eligible? Anybody that gives...
Anybody's eligible. There's no limit in terms of rides.
Okay.
We've promoted this, and we'll continue to promote this.
Okay.
It bodes very well for this Dakota County to support these rides, so the client doesn't have to pay.
Yeah.
You know, just get on the bus and...
For sure.
We have a funding code in our system. I shared that with Sherry and how we track the number of rides.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
attached
it to you.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. Pretty cut and dry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yep,
thank you.
So then we make a motion. I would make a motion that we go ahead and approve the $15,000 in assistance to the Siouxland Regional Transit System for ridership of Dakota County residents.
I'll second.
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Marty.
Yep. Board to award bids for North County Road concrete panel repairs. I think the bids were opened earlier today.
Chad Kirk, what the hell's happening?
Busy.
Yeah,
it's good, eh?
Yes, sir.
So we did open bids for the North Bluff Road patching project today, or this morning at 10. We received two bids, one from Gill Construction and one from Concrete Plus. Gill Construction was the low bid, $78,605.54. And that would be our recommendation, would be to award it to Gill Construction in that amount.
What was the other bid?
The other bid was Concrete Plus. Theirs was $82,353.63.
See, I like bids like that are close. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Too.
Yep. They're not like $50,000 right. difference or
right.
something like that, right?
And it was actually less than the one we thought.
When start date and end date and all the above?
So we didn't put a start date because we assumed they will start as soon as they can, but the completion date is June 15th of this year.
June 15th. Okay. Perfect. All right, thank you. I don't think I have anything else.
I don't need it.
So 78,605.54, Gil? All right, I'll make a motion for Gil to award to the bid to the North Bluff Road concrete panel repair, 78,605.54.
Second.
Thanks, Chad.
Yep. All right, Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
F, Alroy's EnviroTech Services present information regarding soil stabilization process for M Avenue going to the Danish Alps or out to Cramper Lake there.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
What's your name?
Al.
All right, Al.
Al Royce from, I'm from Colorado, so.
All right, well, nice to have you here.
Well, I brought you a little snow in the back of my truck. I just let you know that.
I saw, well, we had a little flurry this morning.
Yeah, I seen that. I pulled about 22 inches out of my house coming up here. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it was fun. So, just to give you guys, I think a couple of you have seen this presentation. Gwen Jensen was working with Jolene on this project, I don't know, about a year ago, something like that. We've got a product called Basebind Triple X and Triple N X. The biggest thing, Larry Sells was the one that produced this stuff. You can find anything in there that's not in cattle feed. Okay. So that's pretty much what it is. The application rate is about 3.3 to 0.4 inches or gallons per square yard for about 4 to 6 inches, probably the best. Basically, what it does is with the triple X, you can come into concrete, so you can do 4 miles of dirt road with one load of concentrate. You mix it 4 to 1. Basically, the application is there's so many different ways that you can apply it. You can basically do it with a scarifier on the back of a motor grader. You can windrow it in, put it back out. You can use a BOMAG machine. I've got the last couple of pictures that I've got on here is actually from Wyoming, Laramie County. What they've done is they used a zipper, which it fits on the front of the loader, and it's an asphalt zipper, but those guys went in and took some of the product, mixed it up, and the roads are holding up tremendously. We've done 4 jobs in Colorado, a lot in Oklahoma, Texas, all different types of soil content, caliche, everything from just regular road base to whatever. What they do, to give you a little bit back before me, I've been here about 6 years with Envirotech. Before that, I was a highway maintenance supervisor. I've done a lot of chip seals in my life. But they came out and said, you do this road stabilization, you can chip over the top of it. And I was like, really? I didn't believe it, but it's true. It happens. So if you want to flip that next one. Basically, a good mix of the roadway to mix it in, the 4 to 6 inches, whatever you want. Like I said, you can do it with a BOMAG. You can do it with a motor grader. You can windrow it, the asphalt zipper, things like that. It will come back out, and you put your crown on it. What you want. Some people want a 4%, some people want a 6%. With this here, we did this in Elbert County on June 7th. The guys got it all done. We did a half-mile test section. I think there's some pictures in here coming up.
Hold on a second. Lance, for the equipment that we're talking, that he's talking about, you know, to do that, which of those are at our
disposal?
Well, we're going to maybe take some bids with Steve Harrison and Ovan and Andy Lux.
To help do the, okay.
On that end.
Yeah.
Okay. With that.
So you see in the red, that's where we've done a lot of the triple X. We start, like I said, starting in Colorado. The thing with Elbert County, you'll see a couple pictures of this. We did it on June 7th. The road came out nice, everything like that. What they did was on the 9th, we got 9 inches of rain on it. And Jolene has the text message, or not the voicemail from Monty saying it's the only road that held up. Because I live out in Elbert County, we lost all kinds of roads. So if you see, that's our distributor or our truck that we spray it out with after the road is tore up the way you want it. This is the one way that they did it in Boulder County. The BOMAG machine right there is brand new, and it broke. It had less than 2 hours on it. And I know the gentleman that is in charge of Boulder County, if you want to see somebody who was very upset, that was Bob. You come back in with a roller. We prefer a bigger roller than like a little 4-foot heister to get it down. You go ahead and roll it out to your how you want it. 2 days later, what they did was they chip sealed it. Now, this was a residential, which you can see it. Bob wanted to check it and see how it held out. That I want to say there's probably about 500 houses back there. As of right now, Bob is really pleased with what he's got right now. This is the Elbert County road that we did. And you'll see pictures of it. There's subdivisions over on the left side of it, or on the east side of that road. They did it the old way. They used the scarifiers on the back of the motor grader. They came back in. We shot it, and you can see it's kind of a dark brown color. They bring it in there. That's the way it looks. They had an amazing blade operator on this, and he came back. Before that picture, we thought he was done, and he didn't like what he seen, so he came back and did one more pass on it. So we topped it with DuraBlend. What that does is it's basically called a compacting cap. So we use the Basebind Triple X to do the support underneath, and then we spray the DuraBlend over the top at a 0.25, and basically it's holding the dust down. This is the road that we did. You can see the subdivision over on the right side. The picture's not the greatest because to the north and to the left, there's a lot of oil traffic that comes through there. That's the way it looks, and if you look, the kind of the nice thing I like about this picture, if you look at that, there's trash trucks, there's a few oil trucks coming back. That is a finished product in Elbert County, and you can see how hard it is. And if you look right there, they actually left rubber tire, they left marks on it. And you can read that real fast. That was down in Randolph County in Texas. Picture here is what I told you in Laramie County, Wyoming. What they did was they used a zipper. They went out, they broke up the road a little bit, they shot material down on the top of it. They went in and they chewed it up with the asphalt zipper, laid it back down. That was done in August. When he took this picture, it was past, it was almost mid-December. They had three storms on it and a couple of different rainstorms on it. So this one here is about 8 months old, I guess. And that's just another picture of it.
Does that have BOMAG on it or no? That has BOMAG on it?
No, they didn't know it. Just the asphalt zipper, right. Basically is just, you throw it on the front of a loader. And it just chews up. Actually, it's an asphalt reclaimer that they'll.
The other road in the community had the BOMAG on it.
Boulder County did. Yes.
Because when Troy and I met with the gal, same gal, right?
Yep, Gwen.
Yep. When we met with her and she showed us videos and etc., I know that was an option to top it off with BOMAG, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To use the BOMAG, correct?
Right. Okay.
There's, like I said, it's what we've come, what we found out, especially with the ones down in Texas, Oklahoma, the BOMAG works the best because it actually chews it up and mixes it better. But if you have a really good blade operator, it can work that way too. Okay.
Then do you guys, if a guy goes forward on something like this, do you guys bring the tanker out to spread it?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
We basically would do, now correct me if I'm wrong, we would do the prep work ourselves.
Yes.
We would do the prep work, and then once we're ready, they come in.
And I don't, like I said, that was one question that I need to get a hold of Steve with. There's a couple different BOMAG machines. You've got one that hooks onto the machine for the liquid, and it just sucks it in there and chews it up. Or you can spray it down before that, and I did not ask him which one.
Are you talking about Steve Harris?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's it.
He's got one that's ejected.
I think you can inject.
Okay.
He was supposed to be here today. Huh.
So.
He met us this morning.
We met this morning and we talked about it,
okay.
Things like that. And I'm going to send him the other information, the same information, so he can look at it. The thing about it is they had a really, there was a road, and I can't remember the county it was in. It was down in Texas. It was really heavily used oil road. What they did was they came in and put this in there they did the whole side, the eastbound side. They didn't do the westbound. They came back in and they chipped it. And the eastbound was starting to fall apart. That was 5.5 years ago. This is still holding.
Well, what I can say about Steve Harris, it's good to get him on board, because with him having the resources, yeah, he's a concrete guy, but, you know, if anything goes south or anything happens out there, he'd be the first one on
site.
And,
you know, just on the side note, the cost of, because it'll be, when I talk to Steve, the porcelain cement, the fly ash, whatever, this is about 40% to 60% cheaper than what it is with Portland and fly ash. And that was, you know, like I said, this stuff is some amazing stuff. It's pretty crazy to sit there and look in when they come in and do it. And we've already went out and looked at the hill, and I sat there and I looked at that, and I was like, that's about a 11% to 12% grade. I was sitting there kind of trying to justify it with Boulder Canyon, and I did make some phone calls. The grade shouldn't be a problem. Things like that. I talked to Larry. I talked to Lynn, and if there's good material in there, which there is, and it's holding rock, it should hold.
Okay, let's get to the nuts and bolts. All right, we've seen and heard enough.
Okay.
How much is it going to cost?
If we can narrow that down to 26
feet,
it would be around $18,200.
Okay.
If we can't do that, you can probably add about another $3,500 on the light load fee. Because we can get everything up in a trailer.
Yeah.
If not, if we can't get that out, you're looking probably about, we're going to have to bring up two trucks.
Okay.
And that's how many linear feet are you looking at doing?
2662 by...
From where to where, Jolene?
From the bridge.
From the bridge and Hubbard to the entrance?
Yeah.
To the turn.
To the entrance?
Yeah.
To the turn, not
to the turn.
Park entrance.
Right, right.
On MS.
Yeah, you can't say entrance because that's down the roadways.
Right.
Yeah, just to the end of the...
The end of the what?
The lane, just where you turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Where you turn to go to the park.
So it's 26 feet. Is that?
It's 26 feet wide. There's some of it's like 30 feet wide in it.
Okay.
Like I said, if we can get it down to the 24, which we don't know if we can, they can or not. You'd be looking at about $18,200. If not, it'll be.
I'm just visualizing something here. And if you're telling me that, you know, and I know there's no such thing as a straight dirt road,
no.
Right? I get that. I understand that. But I'm just saying, if it goes from 26 to 30, you know, there's a lot of traffic on that road. A lot of, you know, meeting. It's just what will happen is if, you know, you start tearing up what you don't, that you're not taking care of. You know what I'm saying?
We talked about that this morning. I ran 175,000 cars a day. So I get traffic, and I'm a TCS, I'm a traffic control supervisor, the whole nine yards. We talked about it out there. I was like, is there any way you can, like, close this so that everything, so, I mean, that's an option that you could actually do it. It's close, you know, it's going to take you, it depends how the BOMAG goes, everything goes out there. On the half mile with a grader, you're probably looking at about 6 to 7 hours.
Okay, but I think you're missing my...
Okay,
you answered, but I'm just saying, is 26 feet wide enough? No. That's my question, Mark.
You don't want to be driving... My feeling is you don't want to be driving off the edge of anything or cause starting damage.
That's not what I'm getting at.
Looking at, you know, $4,000 difference in product...
What's that, Les?
Our widest point is 28 on that road. If I shave the shoulders, I can make it 26.
Okay. I'm just saying there's just a lot of traffic and a lot of people going off the side. I mean, where do you stop? Where do you start? I understand that, but I just
throw a few extra barrels on the truck.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I just don't want to, you know, yeah, I get it. It's all about money, you know.
No, I get that.
But at the same time, you just want to make sure if we're going to do this, if we do this, we want to make sure it's done right.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly what we want. I mean, the thing about it is you know, I don't want to come up here. Like I said, my background is maintenance.
Yeah.
I've done what these guys have done, and I want to make their job easier. That's the thing. It's, you know, that's the biggest thing.
Well, we don't need to listen to the taxpayers no more than what we want to. You know
no,
what I'm saying?
No.
And maybe any type of, you know, putting somebody in jeopardy with the situation. I mean, that's all I'm getting at. I just want to make sure that it's wide enough. You know, if it needs to be 2 foot wider, do the math on it, figure it out. But I'm just saying, is 26 wide enough? That's all my question.
And that would be something that when he finishes it up that we can talk about. If it's that same, you know, same price, whatever, or if not, I'd say this is what it is. It's, you know, 21.2 or whatever.
Right, right, right.
So, but it's the safety's always first.
Right. So basically, we're gonna get narrowed down a price or a measurement once Lance gets out there and his crew and do the initial groundwork.
Yep.
Correct.
Scott, the thing that I noticed is when they were showing where the roads are, there wasn't one in this part of the Nebraska. It might be kind of nice if they had kind of a model road they could show people.
And I'm sure
if they're going to do that, there'd be a substantial discount.
Well, this is the thing. We talked about that with Gwen.
Would be because, I mean, we have used, the thing about it is, I know tomorrow when I head back, I'm going to stop down in Sarpy County. They were the first ones to use our dust control. And it blew up because EnviroTech has some amazing products. And that's the thing about it is that's where it goes now. Sarpy County's been using dust. They had the other stuff that they used to use. They didn't like it. They had complaints, and we said, "Here, try this."
Mm-hmm.
And that would be, because just like I said, that was when we went out and looked at it. That was one thing that me and Lance looked at. It's like, and I wanted to make darn sure on that hill. Because I called him, I said, "Dude, this is about 11 to 12."
And you know, going out to like it's be a nice place to showcase your product too. Because a lot of recreational people go out there.
Well,
so
that's it, you know. And I know we had talked about it. If there was something to do it, we could probably schedule it in before Memorial Day because that's when everybody's going to go out there.
And Jolene, Lance, is it an issue to shut the road down for a couple of days to take care of this product so they're not working through?
They're not going to be happy, but they're
going to
like the product.
Yeah,
done,
yeah,
so.
I agree.
But you shut a road, nobody's happy when you shut a road down when they don't convenience to them. But if it's going to be for a day or two.
Buses and stewards would be the most affected.
Mm-hmm.
You give everybody a heads up.
If everything works out in whatever the way the half mile of Elbert went, it should be only a day. Because as soon as you're done with it, roll it back. Spray it with the DuraBlend over the top, let it sit for a little bit, and open it up.
The half mile.
Okay, so real quick here, we have no prices. I don't think we can even act today, right?
No.
We're not even acting. So this is just a presentation. Like I said, I know Troy and I seen it. I don't know if these guys have more questions. I'm not trying to cut you off. I think we all know it's going to be a good product. And if there's a road in the county that's going to be tested, okay, that's going to be it.
Yep, I promise you. And that's what we want. I mean, we want to be able to test it and use the best road we can test it on.
I think we need to get a hold of our contractors and have them bid on what we think we're going to do, and then get numbers together. I think that it'd be a great place to use it for sure, and I think it's something the board's certainly been thinking about for a long time, trying to do something with that road.
That road's going to need a considerable amount of grading and ditch work done, isn't it, Lance? In places.
In places, yes.
How long do you think it'd take to get all that done?
A month.
Realistically,
before we get the water off the road,
for sure.
So realistically, we're going to be into April here. So, and it's a board. We got to do a vote on it. But if we get that thing done for $20,000, and to see what's going to take place,
$20,000 of this product plus our contract.
Plus our contract, right? So, but the point is that for the dollar amount and for what we hear about the road and what we've gone through over the last 10, 12 years, since the lake's been there, it would be huge. I mean, if we could dump $30,000 that thing and get 3 years out of it, just saying, before we had to do something else.
And I will tell you that what Elbert County did when they had it in there, they have worked it twice, and me and Lance have talked about that earlier. What they did was they worked it because everybody drove in the middle and they smashed the crown down.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they pulled it back, they watered it. The first time they went in there and they used a roller like they were supposed to, it looked great. They did it again about 4 months later, just did that. And all they did was they rolled it with tandems.
Okay.
And there's a little bit with looking at it, because like I said, I live 15 minutes from it. You can see a little bit of spalling on the eastbound, but if they would have used the roller, I think they would have been fine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, It's not a weekly job that you have to go back out and do.
Yeah, that's but it's something when you want to freshen it up down the road, you can a time or two probably before you need to add more product.
You know, everybody thinks you do blacktop and or millions or whatever, and you need diesel fuel or some type of an oil to. It's water that bonds everything.
Yep.
It's water, you know. And I learned that from some guys that roller and water is the ticket.
To keep it, you don't want it wet, but you want it moist, so you get that compaction in there, and you're ready to rock and roll.
That's huge. Well, like I said, I think once we get some numbers, Jolene gets some numbers from Lance, kind of get a game plan on your time frame, and then we'll get with Stevie Harris and see what the dollar amount is, and you get us a dollar amount. And I would say let's get on the agenda and see if we can get it going.
Okay.
Steve was going to hopefully have some numbers tomorrow.
Stevie will? Okay.
Is there anybody else that would be interested in doing that, or is he the only guy that probably has equipment to do it, I bet?
I don't know. That's why we're going to try and see where he fell in cost-wise, if we had to go out and get some more bids.
Sounds good. Perfect.
And hey, I would bet anybody a dollar in here that you could put it out to six different people, and he's going to be the cheapest, and he's the guy that you want in your back pocket. I mean, he lives in Homer. He takes pride in the roads in the county. I mean,
he was cheaper with concrete in Homer than asphalt.
They're about the county. So, anyways, all right. Thank you.
Any more questions?
Nope. We'll be in touch.
Thank you very much.
I'll steal my PowerPoint that didn't work back from you. Thank you, young lady.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming all this way. Good luck in Sarpy County.
Well, no, that's where I'm going to go. He's retired March 1st, or May 1st, so I got to go give him some...
See him off?
Yeah, we'll give him some crap, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Did you say crown?
Yeah, that's it. He's a jack drinker. He's not a crown, but he's a jack.
All right, thanks again.
Thank you all.
All right, Jolene, road report.
Hello. We had 308 hours maintaining, half hour overtime. We spent 6 hours on the culvert on Fiddler Creek, 11 on 1 on Q, and 12 hours on 230th. Spent 128 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 1,103.85 tons of gravel in the city yard. We had 5 tons of 1.5-inch crushed concrete out on the roads, 98 ton of gravel out on the roads, 3 hours repairing signs, and a culvert concern on 270th, which we hope we can get our locates done and get that fixed by the end of the week.
Is it a drainage issue or a replacement deal?
It needs extensions on both
sides. Okay. Anything else, guys?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope not see you. I'm out. Go.
All right.
See you guys. Thanks. It's good seeing you, Chad.
Thank you.
Discuss and approve or deny projects.
Thanks, Les.
Or purchases with monies from the American Rescue Plan. Okay.
Who's wanting money this time around?
The jail is for rugs.
Did you see the price of that?
I know. I don't.
Jesus, good God! Is that
Elizabeth isn't here today, and I think we probably should. Randy, are you here to talk about the rugs?
It looks like it's mortared into the concrete for the price. Am I reading that right?
That's expensive.
Yeah. So I don't know what the particulars on it. So I'd be more comfortable waiting. Figure out exactly what that
custom size mat for entry.
Wait.
I understand the first couple, but this.
A custom mat size. It says custom size mat for entry. If anybody can come within $1,000, I'll buy you a pop. And I said $1,000. Anyways, doesn't matter. $4,300 for a rug. Anyways, okay. Yeah,
we're gonna hold off on that one.
Yeah,
let's do that.
District Court is looking for a commercial coffee maker for their jurors and also a podium in their courtroom. Kim, are the podiums past their prime?
I've never really looked at it.
Yeah. Okay.
$400 and some dollars, is that what it is for the one? $489?
Yeah.
Podium? And, yeah, district court for the two. Obviously, she's already purchased the coffee maker, it looks like to me.
Yeah.
And the podium for the courtroom. Kathy, if you don't need them, she wouldn't be wanting them. So
yeah.
I'll make a motion on the two district court
items.
Items, yes.
Second.
Roy?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
All right, the last one is Building and Grounds requesting 24/7 lock services to rekey locks. A number of the lock on the exterior of the building, like most things, everything gets kind of piecemealed together over time, so...
I wonder what locks he's talking about. I thought everything was keyed.
Not, they're keyed, but on the exterior, there's like five different keys to get in the building.
Okay.
So he's talking about getting them all keyed alike. So that's his ask.
Yeah, well, and to key them alike, it's always about $100, I think, you know, so. Mm-hmm. I get it.
$540, I think, is
the... Having a ton of keys, I have one key. Okay, yeah, for...
The only door that, Scott, the only door it doesn't include is the door back on the attorney's office there in the old jail there. They would have their own, so people can't get it.
On the health department?
The
public defender?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Not you guys.
No second story doors on this.
Okay, so I'll make a motion for the keys, the 24/7 locksmith for $540. Rekeyed, all right.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Brian?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Commissioner committee reports.
You know what? I missed one last week. I was in Texas. I forgot all about it. Did you go to it?
I never made it. And yeah. Bob wasn't around.
Which one?
There was a LEC meeting.
They didn't have enough people.
Yeah, that's what I seen that. And I felt so bad. Usually Tracy calls me, or she'll text me. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But I have nothing, Marty. I have nothing.
I don't have any.
We went to that tri-state where that joint meeting.
Yeah, we went to the joint city county. It went good.
It was good.
It was it went pretty fast. Everybody kind of went 3 or 4 minutes, and
which was nice.
It was good. It was informational. The like I said, that's where they talked about moving the possibility of moving the apartment buildings and homes over to the west side of town there, and the Dale Hands addition and those types of things.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Has Dale been, Hippie been on and off, on and off, on
he,
and off?
He's been on, but you can't TIF things until you have the blight study
done.
Right. So now that the blight study's being done at that point, then they can decide.
Well, I just remember the talk was he had something going on, then all of a sudden I verbally talked to him. And then all of a sudden he's like, nah, I'm out. And so he must be back in.
He's back in. The one thing I learned is the county road that runs from Old Highway 20 along Rife's Reynolds there, that little 200-yard road, is the city's responsibility. But I think we're still grading it.
Well, hey, hold on a second here. Time out. 8-10 years ago, we spent like $50,000 on building that up. That is a city?
Now it is.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
It is now.
It is now. Yeah. All right.
Good.
Mail or emergency business?
I went to the Northeast meeting Friday in Norfolk.
Okay.
It sounds like that your inheritance tax deal is going to stay the same. I don't think that's going to go through to get rid of the inheritance tax. But one thing interesting was a lot of counties use their inheritance tax money to lower their levy a little bit. So that was kind of interesting. I got a whole page of stuff that I could maybe bore you with or not. But another one that was interesting was the one where on the property tax deal, if they thought, hey, your value is too high, then the state has to buy it from you. And they said that would cost millions and millions and millions of dollars. So if they didn't think that was ever going to go through. There's LB 949 where you would inspect property values every year. Another one's probably not going to go through, but learned a lot.
Was we sick and tired, or at least I was, of seeing all the emails from on the inheritance tax?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen something be pushed off and pushed off and pushed. I was just like, you know, don't email us until we know something.
Right.
You know, good God. I mean,
on the Epic tax that they were talking about doing, they said that if you have a home and say that home could be rented for $1,200 a month, even though you live in it, you can still be taxed on what you could rent it for if you weren't living in your house.
Oh.
They talked about that, too, and they said that it would be more like it would probably be a 22% sales tax is what it would wind up being to make it work. So.
All right. At that point, we'll adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. All in favor? Yeah, right?
Aye.
Aye, aye, aye.